You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's the Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Friday edition of the Daily Dime. Today is January 10th. We had a great game last night in the college football playoff, and we have a huge weekend ahead of us in the sports world, so let's talk about it. So I want to start off with the college football playoff semifinal that we had last night between Notre Dame and Penn State. Notre Dame would win this one 27-24, which wasn't too far off from our original prediction of 24-20. And also, just like we predicted, this was a physical stalemate, at least in the first half. We had no points scored in the first quarter, and Penn State finally got on the board in the second, and then they actually went up 10-0. And you're starting to think, wow, like, is Penn State maybe going to run away with this? They were starting to look like the more physically dominant team. Riley Leonard gets hurt at one point. Looked like he might have had a concussion. You know, he goes out of the game. And you're starting to think, man, Penn State, they might really run away with this one. But right before the half, Notre Dame gets a field goal. And you're starting to think, okay, they get the ball to start the second half. If they can come out and get some points here, you know, we might really have a ball game. And that's exactly what they did. Riley Leonard comes back, and they just had a dominant drive, just one of those run it down your throat, just straight down the field to score to start the second half. And so they tie the game at 10, and that would be all the scoring we had through the first three quarters. But then the fourth quarter was an offensive onslaught. So Notre Dame scores again on a Jeremiah Love run, which is one of the nastiest runs you'll ever see. He just would not be denied at the goal line. But then Penn State comes back with back-to-back touchdown drives, and Nick Singleton ends up with two more touchdowns. He ended up with three on the night. So then they take the lead 24-17. But then Notre Dame comes right back. They have a 54-yard touchdown pass from Riley Leonard to tie the game. And this just went from a snooze fest to one of the better games that we've seen this year. So then the teams traded a few possessions back and forth. Penn State gets the ball. You think they might have a chance to go down and score. But then Drew Aller throws an interception. He did not have a great night. I saw a couple stats. They said, I think he was 0-for-4 targeting receivers. So the receivers didn't have any catches last night. And then the tight ends, he was like 9-for-10. So obviously they have one of the best tight ends in the country with Warren, but I think it's pretty telling that they weren't able to just get the ball downfield at all. Obviously relied on the running game, especially with Singleton a lot. But anyway, so he throws the pick, sets Notre Dame up in field goal position. They end up nailing it, and that'd be your final 27-24. So obviously a lot of narratives coming out of this game. You know, you kind of have an overreaction Friday here. A lot of people are especially piling on James Franklin, but you know, I don't know. I think they played pretty well. I think he put the team in a position to win. Drew Aller didn't play very well overall, you know. So he had the one interception at the end there, but he really should have had a couple others that were called back on questionable penalties. But there are some pretty damning stats as well. So I did see another stat that said Franklin is now 1-15 versus top five opponents at Penn State. And, you know, obviously those are going to be tough games. They're top five teams, but you're expected to be one of the blue blood programs in the country. And, you know, you just got to win more of those. 1-for-15 is just not acceptable. But, you know, I don't think he deserves too much of the blame for last night. Like I said, I think he put them in a good position to win. And these were two teams that, again, like I mentioned yesterday, I think were very evenly matched. Their offenses have not looked at, or they haven't looked great the past few games. You know, they have some flashes, and they can both run the ball, especially when Aller gets out of the pocket and Leonard scrambling. But, you know, the offense have kind of struggled, but the defenses have been really good. So this game didn't surprise me a ton. You know, we got a little bit more scoring than I probably would have expected in the fourth quarter. But I think both teams played pretty well. I think they played to their strengths. We knew this would come down to turnovers, which we also predicted on the show yesterday. And that's what it did. It was a late Aller interception, sets up the game-winning field goal. And there you have it. Notre Dame is advancing. So I will say, though, both teams seemed pretty beat up. This was a physical game. They already had some injuries coming into it. You know, especially you look at a guy like Jeremiah Love, and he had the knee injury, and he's saying, you know, I'm not going to hurdle anybody. It seemed like he was going to kind of take it easier, maybe even be on a snap count, but then he ends up hurdling a few guys. He has that crazy run down at the goal line, like I said, which is one of the better runs that I've seen in a while. Just absolute nastiness from him. But anyway, so yes, Notre Dame will move on. But like I was saying, the teams are so, they both felt so beat up at this point. They had injuries coming in. They had some more throughout this game, especially up front for Notre Dame. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to hang with either Texas or Ohio State, whoever comes out of the other side of the bracket. Their offense is just too anemic at times. The defense does play well, but, you know, Texas and Ohio State have so many weapons that, you know, my initial prediction would be like, I'd kind of be surprised if they kept it within double digits at this point. You know, we're still 10 days away from the championship, so they may be able to get a little bit healthier. Some things may change, but, you know, I really think the game tonight is going to be, you know, the kind of de facto national championship. So speaking of that, tonight we have Ohio State and Texas down in Texas. And speaking of de facto championships, this is basically a facto or a de facto home game for Texas. You know, it's right in their backyard, and especially with a lot of the weather, they've had some snow, it sounded like, and some definitely cold temperatures. I saw a lot of news on Twitter where different flights were canceled, and it was really tough to get down there. So we'll see if the Ohio State fans are able to travel, but I wouldn't be too surprised if this is like 70-30 Texas fans in the stadium tonight. But that being said, you know, this Ohio State team just seems to be on a mission. They played so well in the first two games after that letdown against Michigan. And if they come out and play like they have against Tennessee and like Oregon, I don't think Texas can keep this within 10 either. You know, I think they'll be lucky to keep it within like 14 if they play like that. But, you know, I'm not totally expecting it. I'm a little bit hesitant because I do think this is going to be more of a home atmosphere for Texas. If they can come out and score early, get on the board, get some momentum, get the crowd into it, I think it's going to, you know, maybe not shock Ohio State, but slow them down a little bit. I think that's been one of the keys for Ohio State through their first two playoff games, where they've gotten out to such strong starts that they've kind of just hit the other team and they weren't really ready. And before you know it, they're up by 14 or 21 or 28. And it's just a blowout. It's too late. And so I think if Texas can come out and score early, like I said, get the crowd involved, then we may have a really good game. But if not, I'm leaning towards Ohio State here. I do think we're going to get a lot of points. I like both defenses here, but I like both offenses more. I don't know if I have a great prediction, because I think there's such a wide range of where this could end. But my hunch would be something like, I'm thinking like 34 to 27 Ohio State, somewhere in that range. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a lot more points. I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up in a blowout in one way or the other. But that's kind of my hunch for where we're going to end up here. Obviously, you know, players to look out for: Jeremiah Smith on Ohio State side. He's been dominant so far in the postseason. You know, I think he was already becoming well-known, kind of building a brand for himself throughout the season. But I think the national media and the wider national, you know, kind of eye has really gotten to see him over the past two games, where I forget his exact stats, but I think he has something close to like 15 catches for 300 yards and a few touchdowns. So he's just been dominant. Obviously, you have both running backs for Ohio State as the weapons, and their other receivers as well, you know, between Abuka and Tate and even some of the other guys that shouldn't be forgotten. But I think the wild card is going to be Will Howard for them. He's played well in the playoff, but, you know, we've seen him not completely show up in some of the bigger moments, like against Michigan, and he wasn't, you know, incredible against Indiana or Penn State. So, you know, I think he's going to be the key for them. We'll see if he can use his legs a little bit as well. But then for Texas, you know, I think it's going to come down to how they can play in the trenches. If they can slow down the run game from Ohio State, then I think they really have a chance here. I think the secondary is going to struggle regardless. I know they have a very, very good secondary, but the wide receivers from Ohio State are just so elite. And then it'll also come down to Quinn Ewers. You know, it seems kind of cliche, you know, picking the quarterbacks as some of the players to watch here. But, you know, he's had his moments as well where, you know, he looks like he should be a top five pick, but then there's other times where it looks like he shouldn't even be on the field and they should have Arch Manning in there. So we'll see what version that we get of Quinn Ewers tonight. Also another, you know, subtle storyline with him being the former Ohio State guy before transferring to Texas. So a lot of storylines to play out. You know, I'm kind of expecting a close game. I don't know if Ohio State will be able to run away with this one like they did against Tennessee or like they did with Oregon. But I wouldn't be totally surprised if it happens. So it's a little bit of a cop-out answer. But like I said, I'm expecting maybe 34-27, somewhere in that range. And we'll see how it goes. But then also looking ahead, we have NFL playoffs this weekend as well. So We'll transition over to that, just run through some of the games real quick. So the first one that we'll have on Saturday is between the Chargers and the Texans. The Texans are hosting here, but they're going to be home dogs with the Chargers as 3-point favorites in that one. You know, this one's kind of an interesting matchup. Both teams feel a little bit inconsistent, but I feel like the Chargers are playing better right now. Houston just has so many injuries, and I like CJ Stroud, but he's regressed a little bit in his sophomore season here, so I'd pick the Chargers in this one, but I think this one will be close, especially with the Texans being at home. And then in the late game tomorrow, we have Baltimore hosting Pittsburgh in a divisional matchup. And Baltimore, big favorites, almost 10 points, and I'm totally aligned there. I think Baltimore is playing really well right now. This offense is just a machine. Lamar Jackson probably going to win his third MVP, even though I don't totally agree with that. I'd have Joe Burrow in there. A little bit biased, but I don't think anyone's playing the position better than he is right now. But between him, Derrick Henry, I don't think Zay Flowers is going to play, which could hurt them a little bit. But between that and their defense, and they're playing the Steelers, which I just feel like have kind of fallen apart in the second half of the season here, I'll take Baltimore big in that one. Then on Sunday, we'll kick off with Denver at Buffalo. Buffalo are pretty big favorites in this one as well, like 8.5 points. I don't know. Denver's defense is pretty good. You know, Josh Allen has had a great season as well, also up there in the MVP talks. But 8.5 feels like a lot. I think Buffalo wins this one, especially being at home. I don't know what the weather's forecasted to be on Sunday, but I don't think it'll have too much of an effect. You know, Denver obviously also used to playing in some harsher conditions up there in altitude. So I don't know if that'll be too much of a factor, but I'll still take Buffalo in this one. I think they probably win by something closer to like 6 if I had to guess, but I still like them there. Then in the afternoon slot, we have Green Bay at Philly. Philly's 5.5 point favorites here. But I think a lot of that is being driven by them being at home. You know, I actually like the Packers here. I wouldn't be surprised if they win. 5.5 feels like a lot. And I know Philly has kind of taken another step this year, it seems like, with Saquon in there, you know, running for 2,000 yards. But I don't know. It seems like a lot of these teams that are able to make deep playoff runs, they don't necessarily have like elite running backs or elite wide receivers. You know, the thing that really separates them is always going to be elite quarterback play. So I think Green Bay's defense steps up here a little bit. I think Philly's been a little bit inconsistent. And, you know, I would give this one essentially a toss-up. I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay goes in there and gets the win. But then in the late slot, we have the Buccaneers hosting the Commanders. I don't know. It doesn't feel like either of these teams could probably win the Super Bowl. The Commanders are, you know, a year early. It's Daniel's rookie season. He's definitely outperformed expectations. I don't know if they were even expecting to be in the playoffs this year. So they're probably just somewhat happy to be there. Tampa Bay right now looking like they're 3-point favorites at home. I'll take them to win. I like Baker. He's had a great season. I know they've had a couple injuries as well, but something about them, I feel like they're going to win. I don't know if they'll win any other games along their playoff path here, but I like them to get the win at home against Washington. And then we'll close out the first round with the Rams hosting Minnesota on Monday night. And I will say this, they're de facto hosting this one. This game's going to be in Glendale because of the fires out in LA. Minnesota are 3-point favorites here. They're road favorites. And I like that as well. I think there's so much drama going around with everything in LA. And I just like Minnesota in general. Sam Darnold has played out of his mind. They have great weapons. The defense has played so well this year. They give a lot of exotic looks. And I think the Rams are going to struggle with that a little bit, even though Matt Stafford has proven that he can do it in the playoffs after they won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So I'll take Minnesota in this one. I think that one will be close also. And definitely a great game to have on Monday night there. But yeah, so excited to see. We had a great weekend coming up. Very excited to watch all these games and talk about them next week with you. But with that, we'll just about wrap up this Friday episode of the show. As always, thank you for listening. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.